It's my privilege this morning just to share a little bit of word with you. Thank you, Janet, for leading that, so putting those decrees together so beautifully, so powerfully. My heart would be pleased if we could take these, laminate them if you need to. Maybe we could do a bunch of laminated ones at some point, but take these, please, and begin to decree these. See yourself as somebody who's been given a right, because you have been, if you're in Christ, you've been given a right to declare the word of God on the earth. You are his mouthpiece on the earth. And take an attitude, a stance in the spirit that you've been given a right to declare these things. So if you take those, please, and every day, let's be decreeing these things together. Have you sent these through to New Life, to Adam? Please do so. I believe that probably we'll see maybe the whole movement take it up. And we've got a little bit of a video clip here for you at some point. I just don't start it until I give the little bit of word. But I want us to come around the table of the Lord today as we close our time together, as our central focus in the sense of being our central anchor point and our central reference point. We know that it's a political strategy, and all sorts of governments have worked these strategies through the years, whereby you work with what's called incrementalism, where you make incremental changes. And then there comes a time in a particular kind of political philosophy where you then do the big hit. And what we've seen in New Zealand and many parts of the world over the last number of decades is incremental changes and things to re-engineer our society, as we call it, social engineering. And then what happens in the strategy is it comes to a point where you use an opportunity where there's disorientation to actually make a big hit and to drive through certain things that accelerate that social engineering. Now, what you're relying on is actually a certain level of disorientation among people, because when people become disorientated, especially when they become fearful, a population becomes very easy to work with. It becomes like putty. Now, I used to work as a construction worker. I spent 8.5 years on the Clyde Power Project, one of the biggest plugs any river's ever seen in this country, to generate something like 470 megawatts of power to fuel your iPhones and your heating systems. And one of the things we would do is, of course, the concrete would arrive. It would arrive in a way that just would dump in a big heap. The drier the concrete within reason, the stronger it would be. Now, I'm not talking about it being too dry where the cement doesn't even get to bond, but the concrete that was sometimes used had boulders in it that were 6-inch aggregate. And then, of course, all the smaller pieces and all the sand in that as well. And I would see the concrete dumped, especially when they were doing the main pours on the main bulk pours of the main part of the dam. The concrete would just be dumped out of a 3-meter skip, and it would just be a pile like this. It was almost immovable by human hands. You couldn't get a rake into it. You couldn't get a shovel into it. But what they did have is they had these little machines, these little diggers, really. Instead of having a bucket on them, they had a compressor connected to them, and they had a bar, and they had a number of very large concrete vibrators dangling from this bar. There was usually 4 of them. Concrete vibrators about that thick. And they would be dangling from this machine, and they would drop these vibrators onto the pile of concrete with 6-inch aggregate in it, and the stuff would just melt like butter. It would just begin to vibrate in such a powerful way that you could shape and fashion that pile of rubble, which looked like rubble, but it was concrete, in any way you wanted. And that's what happens in society. You hit the thing with such a lot of shaking that it'll become malleable or putty in your hands, and you can start shaping it the way you want it to be shaped. Anybody identify with that at all? How many people have felt disorientated by the rapid rate of change our society has experienced in the last X number of decades, actually, but especially in the last 2 decades? And then, of course, with earthquakes and various things that happen, there's a lot of shaking goes on, especially in our city. And then you have the rapid political agenda that has literally disorientated people from what is up, what is down, what is right, what is wrong, what is left, what is right. People are disorientated. And as a result of that, in the disorientation, people can just give up, they can just lay down, they can just accept whatever's going because it feels like it takes too much to resist it. Anybody ever identified with that? In the midst of a storm, a very heavy storm at sea, with the waves tossing, the cloud cover, the rain, the wind blowing, a ship, if it loses its bearings and loses its ability to stay on track, it's better now with GPS, but on the days when you had to rely on a sextant, you had to get horizon and sun shots to work out where you were on your maps, which was called celestial navigation. If you went for a week without any sun shots and your ship was tossed by a storm, you didn't know where you were. I want you to play that clip right now because this might describe a little bit about maybe how some of us are feeling. Could somebody just kill that center light there? Kill those lights. We'd just like to watch this for a little bit. Sorry if you're starting to feel seasick already, but... sometimes in life it just feels like there's so much coming at you. So many waves. It seems like one thing after another coming at you. And it can get to the point where you're not sure which is north, which is south, which is east, which is west. You're not quite sure where you are anymore. And I've talked to a number of people who have started to feel really disorientated and feeling like they're not sure where they are anymore. You'll notice in a minute there'll be some large rocks and cliffs starting to come into the background. Maybe it won't pick it up on. There it is there. There's some rocks starting to come into the background there. This boat's got its work cut out for it, right? It's either trying to get into a harbour, but the wind is just... to me, it looks like that boat is starting to get pushed toward those cliffs. It's a trawler, obviously. Anybody's stomach starting to feel a little bit? Yeah. Of course, the closer you get to the screen, the more that is. But that describes to me, to some degree, how some people have been feeling. For some people, there's just such a sense of disorientation. And wondering what's morally right anymore. What's true anymore. And so with the COVID situation and with a few other things that have happened, and there's just this disorientation. But I want to tell you this. As believers, we have this phenomenal advantage. We have this amazing, amazing advantage. When I was a boy about the age of 12, some of my family, we were living in Western Australia, and we came time to come back to New Zealand. We travelled overland, great adventure. We parked up in Sydney for several weeks and then caught a ship to come home. It was called the Oriana. Anybody heard of the Oriana? A P&O ship. It was the original Oriana. 810 feet long, 48,000 tons. I think it was something like 100 and something feet wide. A huge ship by the standards of those days. And we thought we were in for a wonderful cruise to come home from Sydney via Cape Reinga to Auckland, where we would wait for a while, wait for all the vehicles and everything to arrive, and then would proceed to come south. But before we left Sydney Harbour, a number of people were already seasick. And when we were doing the lifeboat drill and the life jacket drill, which they do, we were there. And even before we left Sydney Harbour, believe it or not, the boat was starting to heave as it started to head into these waves that were coming out of the Tasman Sea. Well, what wasn't that long, that night, a lot of people were seasick. They started to put ropes up around the place because the number of people that were falling over, getting broken bones, broken, dislocated collarbones, all sorts of things. And if you went into the bathrooms, you just turned around and came straight back out again because there was a lot of stuff on the floor. And some people never slept for 3 days. the storm was so wild, so rough, they had to bring in the stabilizers, which were meant to help stabilize the ship in rough seas, but they were so at risk of it getting torn off that they had to bring them in. Everything was shut down on the ship. There were no coits, there were no swimming pools, the only thing they let running was the theater, the movie theater. And to be in a dark movie theater, I mean, at the dining tables, the guy on the end had to put his foot out like this, and the guy at the other end, because you all dined in groups, and the idea was you put your foot out here, because when the ship leaned over, which got to an incredible angle in the coffee pot, you helped hold the other people in line so they didn't slide down the, you know. One night they had to turn the ship with the storm because of the risk of damage to the ship, and jukeboxes were flying, the crockery in the kitchens were flying. It was just an absolute mayhem. It was a force 12, apparently, over 120 knots. And the captain was saying, well, this isn't too bad in my 36 years of being at sea. When we rounded Cape Ranger and it calmed down, he said, that's the worst crossing I've ever had in 38 years at sea. What I'm saying is this. When you're at sea and it's wild and it's rough, you become disorientated. I believe a lot of people have become disorientated in our society. But we do not have to be disorientated. We do not have to be disorientated. We know who God is. We know what his purposes are. We know that there's a kingdom that we have now, but there's also the fullness of a kingdom to come. We know that his destiny for our lives is to know him and enjoy him forever. We know that we're already, if you're in Christ, you're already a recipient and an owner of eternal life. It's not just what's coming, it's what you have already. We know that our sins are forgiven. We know that we united to him, our creator, he's united us to himself. We know that there are shifts and changes and challenges and struggles in this world. Jesus said we would have them, but he also said, I will deliver you out of them all. So I want to just turn to a passage in Ephesians chapter 2. Can somebody bring my Passion Translation to me? I just want to read out of that. And then we'll go straight into the table of the Lord. I want to read this verse, and I'm going to read a bit more out of the Passion Translation. This is New King James. And he's speaking to the people in Ephesus, people from all sorts of different nationalities and backgrounds, some of them Jews, many of them non-Jews or Gentiles. And he's speaking to them and he's saying to them that at that time when you didn't know the Lord, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth or the covenants of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And this is one of the reasons we're sharing the table of the Lord this morning, because I want us to just focus around the fact that we have actually been brought near. We're not tossed in a wild sea. The earth, the world may be confused. The world may not know which way is up and which way is down. It's calling good evil and it's calling evil good. I don't know if you've noticed that. It's confused. It's bewildered. It doesn't know. It's looking for strong leaders. It's looking for leaders who communicate nicely. Doesn't matter what they communicate, as long as they communicate nicely. It's looking for somebody to cling to hang on to, that's offering some hope or some sense of future. But I want to tell you, my friends, there's no human leader on earth that can offer us what Jesus has offered. Amen. There is no human leader on earth, no political leader. It doesn't matter whether it's National, Green, New Zealand, First Labor, New Conservative, doesn't matter who it is. Nobody can offer what Jesus has offered. Nobody can reconcile us to the Father and redeem us from darkness the way Jesus has redeemed us. Nobody has given us a clarity of mind and has given us the spirit of love, power, and a sound mind like Jesus has. So Jesus is our point of reference. He is the point that our GPS is connected to. He is the one that our sextant, the thing that we use to get our bearings, he is the one that we're focused on. He is the horizon and he is the sun. He is our point of reference for all of life. Not only that, by the power of his sacrifice, by the power of his blood, he's taken people who were in the world without hope and he's brought us near. He's brought us so near to the Father that he's actually brought us into complete union with him. We are described as people who are one spirit with Christ. We are so anchored. People say, well, I don't always feel anchored. No, that's the feeling realm. But the reality from God's perspective is you are anchored. You are in him. You are of him. You are grounded in him. I'm going to read from the Passion Translation because I just like to. And it says this from chapter 2. And he's just speaking to the believers, to people who are in Christ. And he's saying, and his fullness fills you, even though you were once like corpses, dead in your sins and offenses. It wasn't that long ago you lived in the religion, the customs, and the values of this world system, obeying the dark ruler of the earthly realm who fills the atmosphere with his authority and works diligently in the hearts of those who are disobedient to the truth. Don't be surprised that people that are disobedient to the truth end up on the same agenda. Don't be mystified that a significant portion of the world is flowing with an agenda that is actually disobedient to God. Why? Because there's a spirit working in those who are disobedient to the word of God, who are disobedient to God. There's a spirit working in them. And when a spirit works in this person and in that person, it's surprising they actually start coming to the same conclusions. But we've got a different spirit working in us. We've got the Holy Spirit working in us. And the Holy Spirit is revealing God's agenda. He's revealing God's will. He's revealing God's word. And you get somebody on this side of the planet, somebody on that side of the planet, they get in touch with each other. The Spirit of God has been working in them and they're coming to the same conclusions. They're seeing the same things concerning the kingdom, the will of God, our identity in Christ, the power of God, all of the things that God is speaking in this day. You can have people that have never met each other and yet the same spirit is working in them and they're speaking the same spirit language. Have you noticed that? It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Why? Because there's a spirit working in us. He's the Holy Spirit. But those who are disobedient to the word, disobedient to God, there's also a spirit working in them, and it's not the Holy Spirit. So don't be surprised if it seems like there's a whole bunch of people who have disregarded the knowledge of God, but they still seem to be on the same page because there's a spirit working. Got to get that. Well, he works diligently in the hearts of those who are disobedient to the truth of God. The corruption that was in us from birth was expressed through the deeds and desires of our self-life. We lived whatever natural cravings and thoughts our minds dictated, living as rebellious children subject to God's wrath like everyone else. But God still loved us. With such great love, he is so rich in compassion and mercy, even when we were dead and doomed in our many sins, he united us into the very life of Christ and saved us by his wonderful grace. He raised us up with Christ, the exalted one, and we ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm. We are now co-seated as one with Christ. Let's jump to 13. Now let's jump to verse 11. So don't forget that you were not born as Jews and were uncircumcised. In other words, you weren't part of that original company who were called to be the culture that would welcome the Messiah. You had none of the Jewish covenants and laws. You were foreigners to Israel's incredible inheritance. heritage. You were without the covenants and prophetic promises of the Messiah, the promised hope, and we were without God. It's not a good place to be. Yet, look at you now. Everything is new. Although you were once distant and far away from God, now you have been brought delightfully close to Him through the sacred blood of Jesus. You have actually been united to Christ. We don't have to be tossed. We don't have to be blown by the wind. We don't have to be confused by winds of doctrine. We are united to Christ Himself through His precious blood. People say, well, hang on, I don't know if I'm really united. I want to help you today. As we stand and as we start to distribute this table, could I have four people come to take the bread and four people come, whatever, to take the cup? Ruth, I think you've asked a number of people. That's fantastic. And so, what I want you to do, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Murray. Appreciate that. As this cup comes around and as this table comes around, you get to ask yourself, have I actually received Jesus Christ? Have I actually asked Him to come and be Lord of my life? Here's a moment right now. You can take this bread, you can take this cup today. And as you take that bread in your hand and as you take that cup in your hand, what we're going to do is we're going to pray a prayer and we're going to recommit our lives to the covenant and to the power of the blood that brings us to the Father, brings us near to Him. And what we're doing today, maybe this is the first time you've ever taken the cup or taken the bread. Maybe you've never been in a place like this before, but in your heart you're saying, I want to be connected to God. I want to be born again. I want to be saved. I want whatever language you understand. I want to be part of the family of God. I want to know where I belong. I want to know who made me, who created me. You take this bread. You take this cup. We're going to pray. And there's somebody here who may not have ever been born again, may not know Jesus. Today, as you eat this bread and take this cup, you're saying in your heart, Jesus, I'm putting my trust in You. I'm believing in You. I'm giving my life to You as You've given Your life to me. And these promises I've just been reading about, you being brought near to God, being right so near that you're part of Him, that will be yours today in Jesus' name. So, as it's still going around, working this delicately with cup and microphone and bread in the hand, let's all stand this morning. Put up your hand if you haven't received the table of the Lord yet, but you'd like to. Anybody not sound down at the sound desk? I think you just need the cup, do you? Yeah. Anybody else? Everybody got it? A few people, Ned here, a few people in this row. A camera person here, Don, is that Don behind the camera? Yeah, God bless you, Don. Don needs table of the Lord right now. Have you got it, John? Okay. Well, and there's John down here would like the table of the Lord as well. Okay. Father, we want to acknowledge today that we're not people who need to be tossed, confused, overwhelmed, or disorientated. Lord, we're people who can be found by You and are found by You. And through the power of the shed blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus, the Son of God, and through faith in Your name, we are being brought near to You, so near that we're part of You. You belong to us and we belong to You. We have a sure future. We have a cancelled out past, and we have Your presence now. So Lord, we thank You for the power of Your body that opened the way for us through the cross. Jesus, we believe that You're the Son of God. How about you pray after me? Jesus, we believe that You are the Son of God, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. I thank you, Jesus, that you died for me. I take you into my life as my Savior, as my Lord, as my King. And I give you everything, all of my guilt, all of my shame, all of my confusion. I give it all to you. Thank you for giving me your life, your righteousness, and your peace. In Jesus' name, let's eat together. Let's hold up the cup. Pray after me if you would. Father, I thank you for your Son, that he shed his blood for me. I thank you, Lord, that my sin is removed as far as the east is from the west. I thank you, Lord, that I am a new person. I trust in you and in the power of your sacrifice. I declare that I have been brought near to my Heavenly Father through the power of this blood. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen. Father, I thank you for all your beautiful people today. That, Father, that your Spirit would just wash away uncertainty, that your truth would wash away confusion. I thank you, Lord, that you are with us always. You never leave us nor forsake us. And as we fix our eyes on you, we are orientated, we are not confused, and we're not tossed. Thank you for an awesome future. Thank you for an amazing present. And thank you for a canceled past. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all today. Go and greet somebody. We've got a cup of tea and whatever out there, I believe. Hang out for a while. The people for the second service will come in and just hang out with people for a while. Connect. God bless you. Thank you so much. God bless.